I told someone out in the foyer, and I don't remember who I'm talking about here right now. I told them, I said, the message for this morning kind of failed to tonight. And it will still work out. It's still along the same lines. And that's okay. That's quite all right. And, you know, God knows what he's doing. Even when I don't, he knows what he's doing. And I'm thankful that it's that way. And if you would like to turn with us in your reading to Exodus, the second chapter. As I began to think about Mother's Day, I heard preachers say that they're not Hallmark preachers, and I really don't claim to be a Hallmark preacher. I guess I'm more of a Hallmark preacher now as pastor than I ever have been. The Lord has given me different thoughts around Thanksgiving or Christmas or things of that nature. And he's allowed me to preach those things, and I don't really necessarily know that this is a Mother's Day sermon, but I'm going to talk about some women of the Bible tonight. You know, I believe this story that is in the Bible, this occurrence that happened, is one that shows us the strength of women. There's a lot of strength behind what they had to endure. There's a lot of strength behind what takes place here. And if you'll read with us, we'll start our reading in the first verse. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood far off to wit that would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maids walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child, and she nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him up unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.' And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out into his brethren and looked into the burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren." So we'll stop our reading there for the time being. And if we could title this tonight, it would be "Through the Bulrushes." And I thought about what was taking place here. We've got to realize over in the first chapter of the book of Exodus, the Pharaoh had commanded that all of the male children were to be taken and cast into the river. There was to be no more male children born. You see, he basically wanted to kill off all of the Israelites or those that would be growing up. You know, he looked around one day and he saw that their nationality, their people had begun to grow so much that they soon were going to overtake the Egyptians. They were going to be the largest of the group there. And you know, Pharaoh didn't want that. If you read over in the first chapter, it says, "Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when they falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." So you see, Pharaoh wanted to get rid of or shrink these band of Israelites. And I think very much if we look today, the world tries to tell us that children can be born from any variability of people, beings. But we know tonight that people must be born from man and of woman. No matter what science does or what science comes up with, people are born from a man and a woman. That's how it works. And no matter what modern technology can do, that's how it always should be. So Pharaoh knew, if I take away all of the male-male factors, if I take all those away, then soon enough, all there will be is these women, and soon enough there won't be any more. We'll have this population downsized to a point that they won't be a problem for me anymore. And we come down to the second chapter, and I've heard Moses' mother's name mentioned a few times by a few different people. There's a bunch of different ways you could interpret it. I'm going to call her Jochebed. That's how I've always heard it. That's how I've always heard it called. And I looked at a few ways that you could say it, and I believe it's the best way to say it is Jochebed. And that may be a very southernized version of it, but that's what we'll go with tonight. And I thought about just exactly the way that this came to pass.
And you may ask why I titled this Through the Bulrushes. You know, a lot of times in our life, we don't see the full picture of anything. In my life, I don't always get all of the details all at one time. I don't understand everything just exactly as it happens. I don't understand a lot of the times why God does what He does. And sometimes when things happen, I don't understand because my mind is so finite in the way that it thinks and the way that it causes my life to go that I physically cannot understand why God does what He does and how He does things. And you just think about what old Jochebed must have been going through. She'd had this command. She knew what was coming down. And the midwives had been told, when you have these male children born, you just take them and cast them in the river. Now can you just imagine mothers here tonight? Can you imagine having to take your child as soon as it was born and just take it, give it to the midwives, and then just cast it in the river, and that'd be all there is? Can you imagine the hurt that must have been, the hurt that they must have felt knowing that their children would have no life? But not for Jochebed. So I believe there was a case over here, and at the end of the first chapter, it says that the midwives kind of turned against old Pharaoh, and they began to do the things that they would do. And it says in the 20th verse, therefore God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses. So the midwives were able to establish their houses. And we get down here to Jochebed. And I thought about her a lot this week. You know, can you imagine? I've never had a child. I've never had children of my own. But I imagine the day that they are born is a very special day. I imagine it's the highlight of some people's lives when they have their child. And I thought about old Jochebed, and you know, I guess she had this child, and maybe whatever happened in the child labor or the birth, you know, it just happened, and here comes this little baby. And can you imagine the love that must have been already established between Jochebed and Moses, which his name wasn't Moses at that time, but I'm going to go ahead and call him what he would come to pass to be. But you think about the love that must have already been there between Jochebed and Moses. I believe there's no way that you can ever express the love between a mother and its child. There's probably just no way. I don't understand it. I'm not a mother, so I cannot understand what it's like to love someone that has been a part of me. I don't know what that's like. But Jochebed had a decision she had to make. Jochebed could do one of two things. She could take that child and she could have it tossed in the river. She could turn to the Lord. And I believe Jochebed chose to turn to God. Now I want you to notice something here tonight. As we realize what's taking place, and I want to paint this picture for you if I'm able to. I've had this picture in my mind all week of this scene that took place here. You just imagine coming up to this old pond. And bulrushes, if you know what they are, when you get around an old pond, they're things, and we call them cattails around here. They're big fuzzy things that shoot up. They're very wiry. And can you just imagine her coming up to the river and seeing all of these bulrushes? She has two options. Take the child, cast him in, be done with him, or do something about it. And I want you to realize just how God's divine providence works in our lives, even when we're looking through the bulrushes. Now you just imagine, she's got up here and she's found a little clearing place. And all of these bulrushes are all around. And maybe she looks over and she grabs one and she starts to put it together. She thinks, well, I've got to do something for this child. I've got to do something so that I don't lose this child. You know, it's a goodly child and I want it to have a life even if I can't give it to him. And so she began to make her little ark of bulrushes. I thought about making an ark of bulrushes. How in the world would that thing float? If it was something that I had to build, it would sink as soon as it got down in there. I'm going to tell you what held the ark of bulrushes together. It was the grace of God. That's exactly what kept that little ark afloat when she got it on the water. But you just imagine. Old Jochebed looks down, takes old baby Moses, and lays him in that little ark. And maybe she spent a few minutes, maybe kind of just looking at baby Moses, and I can just imagine it being a very beautiful little child. Just a beautiful baby, little boy. And She realizes that in a very few moments, the baby's going to be out of her life. So she, an old junky bed, I guess she kind of pushed the walk out in the water. Maybe those first few moments, maybe she really wondered, is this really going to work? Is God really going to be here? Is this baby going to have a life? And she pushed the little ark out, and this is just the way that it plays out in my mind. And you can say, preacher, this is not scripture, but I'm going to tell you, she had to get the ark out there somehow. So I just imagine her kind of pushing it off. And maybe as it got a little farther out, maybe she kept trying to grab for it. Maybe she just kept willing it, that it would come back. But she knew that she couldn't give it a life. She knew as a Hebrew that there was no way that she would be able to give this child the life that it needed. So she set it out. And maybe as it went to go, you just imagine her stepping back. Her just watching through the bulrushes. Why, she couldn't get out there in that water. She couldn't go back for it. She just had to stand and watch it go. And old Miriam, and you know who Miriam is? It's Moses' sister. Miriam is there and she watches the ark float for a little while. And you just think about how God works in our lives and how God's divine providence is already way ahead of us. Miriam goes along with this little ark. I can just imagine her running along this bank, just watching the little ark go down the little river. Just kind of floating right along. Not getting too fast, but it would have been kind of set out on the old Nile River. And I don't know if you know much about the Nile River, but it wasn't something I want to go sit out on in a floater and go floating down the river. It's not something I want to do that in. It's probably a very dangerous river. Here it goes. And Miriam just has to kind of watch through the bulrushes. She kind of has to step back and realize, you know, this thing is going to go as far as it's going to go. You know, if God hadn't been in this, eventually Miriam would have had to stop. Miriam wouldn't have been able to go the whole way. You know who could? God could go the whole way. God could have gone anywhere that this little ark was going to go. But He already knew. He already knew just exactly where the ark would end up when He knew when it left Jochebed's home, her house, her hand. He already knew where the little ark was going to go. And so you just imagine as Pharaoh's daughter gets down here and she begins to wash in the Nile River, and I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't go washing myself in the Nile River. But God had her there. And she sees this lark coming up, and can you just imagine as she looks through her bulrushes? Maybe Moses is crying a little bit, and maybe he's getting a little upset, maybe he's getting a little rambunctious. You know, children don't like to be left alone very long. So I thought about old Pharaoh's daughter looking down. Jochebed said it was a good day. So I imagine when she saw it, it was probably, she probably thought, somebody's got to do something about this baby boy. So she takes this baby boy, she calls to her handmaids, and she says, find somebody to nurse the baby. And old Miriam must have been running along pretty close, and she says, would you like for me to go get a Hebrew to nurse this baby? And Pharaoh's daughter says, yes, and I'll pay the wages. You know who she goes to get? She goes to get old Jochebed. Jochebed is reunited with Moses, and you think about that. As it left Jochebed's hands, she thought, oh Lord, it's out of my hands. God, I can't do anything. God already knew that Jochebed would be a part of this little baby boy's life. He already knew that when it left her hands, that he was in control. You know, God is always, 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 always in control. You know, a lot of times we are just looking through the bulrushes. We're just looking at things through the eyes that this mortal human being has. We don't get the full picture. We don't get to see everything. We don't get to see downriver and know just exactly what God has for us. Can you just imagine when old Jochebed got there and saw the baby? She probably thought, can you imagine her walking away that day and just thinking, oh, I hope the baby makes it. A mother's instinct, I'm sure, is to always care for that child and to love that child and to want it to do well and to make sure that it's okay. And I just imagine her walking away just thinking, oh, I hope. I hope it makes it. I hope it can be okay. Imagine hearing it like that. I found it. I've got the baby. I know where it's at. And old Jochebed gets to nurse her baby. You know, a lot of times we go full circle in things. We don't understand it. I don't understand a lot of things. But you know, life takes a lot of faith. You know, we live in a world where women are put down so often. We look around and women are shunned. And I'm not going to get off on a feminist train, I promise. But women, throughout all of the Bible, have always been very faithful to God and made sure that they upheld what God would have them to do. You know, Jochebed knew. She really did what Pharaoh said to do. She tossed him in a river, just was safely in the ark of bulrushes. She did what Pharaoh told them to do. She upheld it. She just kind of added a little thing to it. But you know, she wanted to do the very best. You know, God's hand is always, always, always working in our lives, even when we don't see it. I think a lot of times about the song, there's an unseen hand that's guiding me. I don't see it all the time. I don't know that it's always got a few steps out in front of me, leading me, pushing stuff out of the way to say, you know what, I've got to make a clear path so this one can get through. You know, we face a lot of heartaches and trials and temptations in our life. We do. It's just common to man. It's always going to be. And I thought about this morning as I was driving down the road and I got a little quiet. And you know, I've never lost a child. Never had one to lose. I don't know what that's like. And Jochebed found out firsthand what it's like to lose a child. She got it back. But she realized this is probably going to be the last that I'm ever going to see of that little baby boy. But you know, people, they lose their children here in this life. But if they've been saved by the grace of God, they will see them again. And you know, I don't know all about what heaven's going to be like. Some people say that you'll know the people there, you won't know. I don't know, but I guarantee if they've been saved by the grace of God, they're there waiting on the other side. Even because we don't understand everything, God already knows. He already knows the outcome of our lives. Thought about old Jochebed, and oh, she must have been so happy. But you know what happened to Moses? Moses grew up. Moses became the one that led the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's land. If Moses had died, if Jochebed had kept that baby, if she'd taken the baby and just dumped it off in the river like Pharaoh had said, who knows how the Bible would have turned out. You know, Moses was a very prominent figure in the Bible. But I'm going to say this, God already knew. God already had it established that Moses would be taken care of. I'm convinced tonight. I'm convinced with everything that is within me. And I believe everybody here tonight has been saved by the grace of God. So I can say this with great assurance. It doesn't matter what happens in our life. You say, preacher, you're only 23 years old. You can't understand all about life. You're right, I can't. But I have this much faith in the God that I serve. That God is always, always, always going to be for me and not against me. He's always going to be the one that loves me when nobody else does. He's always going to be the one, as I'm looking through the bulrushes, He sees the whole picture. He knows all about our life. Yeah. You know, I began to think about my life a lot of times. There have been a lot of times I've hit dead ends. I hit just roadblocks. And I thought, Lord, this is just it. Lord, I've just lost all hope. And God would come along and He would push the bulrushes aside and He'd say, this is where you're going. And this is what you got to do. I'm glad that God already knows what our life is going to be like. I want you to turn with me now. And I want to switch gears. I'm still talking about looking through the bulrushes. Because you think about your life. You think about these next few people and their lives. There's some more women we're going to talk about for a few moments of time if God will be our helper. And you think about tonight looking through the bulrushes. You know, God promises a lot of things. I talked to you last week about the covenant that God makes with man and God. There's a covenant that's established there. And you know, I'm convinced that God loves us, or He wouldn't make those covenants. He wouldn't make those promises. God is good to keep His promises to His children. I'm convinced of that. You know, Moses grew up. You know, Moses never got to go in Canaan land. Remember what happened? God told him, He said, you smite the rock and water will come out. So he smote the rock. Water didn't come out. You know what happened next? He said, speak to the rock and water will come out. You know what Moses did? He smacked that old rock. You know what God told him? He said, you're disobedient. You're not going to Canaan land. You'll never see it. He may have never saw Canaan land here, but he saw a greater place far beyond this world. Moses got the end of his promise. Moses got
to see heaven. I'm convinced that he's up there today enjoying the best things that this world ever has. I think Jockey Bay's up there too, if you want my honest opinion. I think she's got a place up there. Oh, you know, Jockey Bay, there was some faith that had to take place there. People, a lot of times, they want to say faith ends at salvation, and it doesn't. If your faith ends at salvation, you're doing it wrong. It takes faith to live this world. It takes faith to get through every single day. I don't know. We spoke about this a lot this morning. I told you. You all preached my sermon. You all talked about how they couldn't go anywhere or do anything without God. I don't know how people do anything without God. I don't. I faced a lot of trials. I've never tossed a baby in an ark and said, plug on down the river, child, see how far you make it. I've never done that. But I've had a lot of trials. I've had a lot of temptations. I've had a lot of heartache. I've had to depend on God a lot of times. I want to get to the scriptures. I promise I'll try to worry your patience too long tonight. I won't over. Pa told me in the car coming back from dinner, he said, you got out of it this morning. He said, don't hit us over the head with it tonight. So I'll try my best not to do that. If God will be our helper. I've been guilty of that a few times. You know, I thought about over in Luke. Let's turn over to Luke. Look over the first chapter. God made some promises to some people here. I guess we're skipping a few months. We're going to talk about Christmas a little while. We're going to talk about a man named John the Baptist. Talk about a man named Jesus. Zacharias, Elizabeth. We're going to talk about Joseph. We're going to talk about Mary. You know, Mary and Elizabeth got some promises, didn't they? You know, old Zacharias and old Elizabeth, they could have got old up in age. Never had children. You know, back in this day and time, if you didn't have children, you were looked down on. You didn't have God's favor if you never had a child. And so people must have been looking down on old Zacharias and Elizabeth and said, what have you done that you can't have children? What have you done?
But they didn't know God already had a better plan.
They didn't know that God was already out in front of them, already realizing the end of the promise.
Didn't realize that. Turn over with me to Luke, first chapter. Fifth verse says this, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. It says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They were good people. They lived a life, I guess, before everybody else that you could say was just about as good as it could be. But they had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren and they were both now well stricken. Now you just stop right there and you just think.
Old Elizabeth probably thought I'm well past.
Zacharias, you know, probably did what any man probably would have done and thought, I'm not well past. This is what I wanted.
Maybe that conversation, maybe he prayed to God a lot of times asking, Lord, why didn't I get it? I'd be able to provide what Elizabeth wanted. Why didn't I wasn't able to do that?
He said, they didn't see me. It came to pass. Often, whenever you see it came to pass, you know something good about it. And sometimes bad things happen, but this is different. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, old Zacharias, just I think he loved the Lord. I think even though bad things had happened, even though he thought God hadn't found everything, he was still serving God. So according to the custom of the priest's office, he walked with the Lord. Of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So let's break this up as much as we can tonight. Now the Lord has spoken to Zacharias and he says, you're going to have a child and his name's going to be John and he's going to be a great one. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Now I want you to maybe think of this from Zacharias' view. He's looking through the bull rushes and he thinks,
Yeah, right.
I'm well up in years. Elizabeth is older. We're not having children. There's no way that this is possible.
You know what the Bible says? For with God, all things are possible.
Even things that I don't even remotely think is possible, is possible with God.
I heard someone say a few weeks ago, and it wasn't here, there was a church I was visiting, and they said, I just don't see how anything good can ever come from our churches anymore. And I said, oh, but yeah, with God, all things are possible.
We look around a lot of times here and say, there's not any lost people here.
We don't know who we're touching. With God, all things are possible. We can grow, we can do great things because God is in the midst, and I believe that. I'm getting off the track. But you think about old Zacharias and Elizabeth. Can you imagine when he went home and said, Elizabeth, the Lord spoke to me today while I was off up in sin, so we're going to have a child.
She probably took the pan that she was holding in one hand and probably looked at him and said, you crazy thing, there's no way that we're going to have a child.
I'm too old. There's no way. The Lord told him that it was going to be so. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. And he's going to make ready a people for the Lord.
You tell me God doesn't already know everything. This is speaking about just exactly the thing that John the Baptist would be doing.
Old John the Baptist, we're going to get there. I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead just a little bit. When he was in his mother's womb, when old Mary came there with Jesus in her womb, you know what happened to old John the Baptist? He left. In his mother's womb.
And you know what happened? You know what John the Baptist did? He made ready. He came baptizing material for God's church. He was going to prepare a people so that God could make his church
here on earth. That's what John was made to do. You tell me John wasn't a great man. You tell me John was in favor with God.
And I'm going to show you the scriptures and say John the Baptist was loved by God himself. I believe he loved Elizabeth and Zacharias too. It says, and Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Old Gabriel spoke to him and said, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak unto that day, but these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You know what Ecclesiastes says? For everything there is a season. Everything has its proper place in God's plan. Our plan doesn't match up to God's plan, but God's plan is always better than our plan. Always, always, always better than our plan. In God's season, it's always better. You know, I'm thankful that it's that way. But old Zacharias didn't believe. So Zacharias was dumb. It means he couldn't speak. He was not able to say anything. Maybe he didn't go home and tell old Elizabeth, hey, I'm going to have a child. But I imagine the conversation would have went something like that if he'd got over there and told her that. But I believe it, Elizabeth is going to find this out anyways. It says when he came out, in the 22nd verse, it says when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. He was not speaking. There's no way. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed for his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he came to take away my reproach. I've lived with no child, and people have looked down upon me for not having a child, but God has blessed me with this child, and I'm going to love him. Oh, can you imagine Elizabeth? Probably this week, she's on up in age. But she was not even going to have that child. There's a promise made to them. There's a promise made to Zacharias and Elizabeth that there was going to be something good to come out of the problems that they thought that they had. They didn't have any problems they thought they had. You know what it was? Oh, we need a little faith. But you know what? I believe God's people, sometimes we get a little down on our faith. It's easy to do. It's easy to look around and say, well, this isn't happening or that isn't happening. But you know what we're doing? We're just looking through the bulrushes. We're just looking at what we can see, and we don't have the whole picture just yet. The whole picture comes in view little by little. The next part we want to look into, and it said the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. So we're fixing to have a little baby boy named Jesus that was fixing to be spoken of. A little baby boy Jesus. You think about that. Think about how this happens. I want you to just paint this picture in your mind tonight. to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary.
We all know that when a child is born, that there's no way that it could be of a virgin birth except that God would do that. With God, all things are possible. There again, we see that. And it says, an angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art the highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I will say this before I go any farther. I don't believe this without hitting this. Mary is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman. I believe she's a blessed woman for being able to carry Jesus in her womb. I believe that. But there's no reason for us to worship Mary. There's no reason for us to bow down to her. She was blessed among people and able to carry the Son of God in her womb. But that's all that we need to say about that. She was blessed, and we're blessed. But people don't put us upon a guilty case and say, blessed are they. Do their Hail Mary's full of grace and all that. We don't get that, and neither does Mary. I believe Mary, if she could look down today, she'd just say, I'm so happy that I was able to carry the little baby boy Jesus, and that's all I need. That's all the blessings that I need for you. Stop blessing me. You bless the one that was born. You stop blessing me, but you bless the one that came out of me. She was blessed among women. She's blessed among people. She found favor with God. You think about that. He chose old Mary. I believe Mary probably was the most studious, best one. She probably was just well-known Mary. Now she probably just did everything she's supposed to do. And God found favor with her. You just imagine being one chosen to carry Jesus. Boy, it was bittersweet, wasn't it? It must have been bittersweet. Because there was an end game involved with all of that. Oh, there was. Oh, it must have been hard. Blessed. Oh. It says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto them the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. That promise is still being kept to this day. His kingdom still knows no end. People are still being born into the family of God. That promise is still being kept. You think, Mary thought this far ahead in advance to take the people that's still being saved by the man who died on the cross, her son? You think she thought that far in advance? God blessed her. God saw, God looked, God knew, but she was just looking through the bulrushes. She was just looking at what she could see. But you know, that didn't come without some adversaries. In this day and time, if you had had this problem, that if you had born a child out of wedlock, you know what was supposed to happen? You're supposed to be taken and you're supposed to be stoned to death. Mary probably was scared, but you know what happened? Oh, Mary? Mary was able to be protected. I believe she was protected by God Himself. You know, she was able, she was hid, she went away, but God protected her, and I believe that. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, saying, I know, not a man? It must have been something that she looked and said, I've never known anybody. There's no way that I could have this child. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's the 37th verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. All right, now we're fixed to move into where the John the Baptist sleeps in his mother's womb. It says, And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of thy Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of this salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there should be performed things which were told her from the Lord.
There's going to be a performance of those things that God has already said that would come to pass. Isn't that a blessing? There's going to be a performance of these things that God has already said would come to pass. God tells us in His Word that we are going to be a protected and blessed people. And you say, Preacher, you just look around us and see if you can believe the Bible yourself. We look around and we say, We're not a blessed people. There's no way. You look around. Brothers and sisters, we are the most blessed people there ever has been or ever will be. Because God has saved us, He's kept His end of the promise. He has. He says that He would come to draw all men unto Him, and those that believed on Him would be saved. If that's not a blessing, I don't know what would be. He's kept the performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. And you can go on and read Mary Wilson's song. It's a beautiful song. Oh, I believe she rejoiced at the thought of that she was the one that would be carrying Jesus. It was beautiful. I love that. You read that for yourself. I want to read to you about John the Baptist's birth, and I'm going to try to close if God will be our helper. I won't worry your patience tonight. I could preach probably another hour on this because I want you to know something about it. As long as you and I live, we will never understand it all. God, I don't know if God does this to you, He does to me. And if He doesn't do this to you,
I don't know what to tell
you,
but this is what happens to me.
God a lot of times lets me know things. I told you about this. You probably heard it more than you care to know. But as I stood here the first time, He said, "Here." What does that mean? I didn't understand the gravity of what God would have for me to do. I didn't understand the end of the promise or what God would have for me to do. But I knew God had something for me to do. He spoke to me. And if God doesn't speak to you, you may want to check this out, because I believe God speaks to His children. I believe God lets His children know what they're supposed to be doing. I'm going to say tonight, being saved is one big leap of faith, that our faith gets us as far as we can go, and then God's faith meets us there and carries us the rest of the way. The Bible says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. God grants us the faith to get saved, and then guess what? He doesn't just dump His people off into the river and say, "Hope the ark of bulrushes last." He says, "I'm going to carry you. I'm going to be the author. I'm going to start your faith, and I'm going to finish your faith." Isn't that a blessing? To know that even though we're looking through the bulrushes, there's somebody looking up, and He's saying, "I already know. I already know what's going to happen. I already know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not evil." What a thought that is. "I already know all about you." Isn't that a blessing? God already knows all about me before I knew about myself. Why? This church was organized in 1972. I wasn't even begun to be thought of. My mom was 1 year old. There was not even a thought process of me. But guess what? I believe God knew in 1972 that someday there'd be a little preacher named Zachary Taylor Gregory that would step through those doors on, I believe it was January 12th, somewhere along those lines, and he would be the pastor of this church. He already knew that. And I would apply that to my life because that's what I see.
But there have been things in every single one of your lives that God already knew just exactly where you would be. And then God spoke. Remember, you know how God speaks? I've said this a lot of times.
Sometimes God speaks, and it sounds like a big roaring something. Whatever you imagine, just big and loud. Almost like a big gong sound. You just hit it, and it just makes a big noise, and you know that God has spoken. You know, sometimes God speaks. Just a little voice. Just a little curve. Just a little nudge. And you know what happens? There's really two choices for God's people. You can either step out on faith, or you can run away from God. You can do that. People don't believe this. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We are free moral agents. We are able to do anything that we want to do anytime. We can do that. When God says, "Follow me," He means, "Follow me." Why? Because God already sees through the promise. Thought about old Peter when God said, "You step out of the boat. Come on out here, Peter. To make the first step, you just come right on out of here." Now, how many of you all, I have tried and I have failed miserably to step out of the boat on the water. And it has never, ever worked for me. I always drown every single time. It doesn't work for me. But you think about this, old Peter was there. He took that first step. He's on water. The next step he took, he was probably still on water. You know what God said? "You keep your eyes on me. You make sure that I'm focused and you will not drown." And the moment that you do, you're going to drown. Anybody like me would have said, "Do it," and look down. You know what happened, old Peter? Down he went. Took his eyes off the Lord. You know what God had to do? You know what God has to do to me a lot of times? He says, "You just come right on out here. You just step right on out of the boat. You just try me, big boy. You just see if I won't be there at the end." And I step out, take that first step.
Sometimes the first step's the hardest. Sometimes it's the easiest. And then sometimes I take my eyes off God and I'm sunk before I know what's going on. You know what God does? Comes right along and He says, we'll try that again next time.
Let's go again, because you know what God is? He's a merciful God. He loves us. And I'm probably not going to get to those scriptures tonight. That's okay. Sometimes when
you get wound up, sometimes you just leave.
But I want you to know this tonight. If we're looking through the bulrushes in our life and we don't like what we see, that's okay. The scriptures tells us that we look through a glass darkly now, but someday we'll see it all. What do you mean, preacher? We're going to see our whole life? I don't believe, I've said this before and I don't believe it. Some people do. Some people believe that you'll get to heaven and be able to look back and see everything that happened, every opportunity you didn't take, and all those things. I don't think God's going to do that. Because heaven will be a place of sadness, and there will be no sadness in that place. God's going to give us the best. And you know what I believe? And some people say that we'll know everything. We'll have the ability to know everything. And I hope, me and Colin probably have the same hope. I hope God will explain some of the things in here to me. But if He doesn't, I'll still be okay. There's a lot of questions that I have about the old Bible. How did this happen? Why did that happen? Lord, how in the world did You make the world like You did in just 6 days? And you know what He's going to say? Because I'm God. Because I'm God. When things happen in our lives, they're going to be hard. They're going to hurt. They're going to smack us right in the mouth. And we're going to think, this is hard. But life is hard. But you want to know the best thing about it? No matter how hard life gets, God is there. He always will be. Just because you're looking to do this now, don't mean you have to come to the truth about that. God is just a person. There's a song. I've just come into a valley, one like I've never seen. Used to be on the mountaintop. God will make this trial a blessing. There are trials. Life, to me, sometimes is just like a, almost like a grenade field that you're getting around. But you know who's the master leader of it all? God Himself. So I'm going to encourage you all tonight. If we're looking for the bulrushes, just keep looking. Enjoy the view. Someday this life's going to be over, and we'll get to see the One who's been leading us all of our lives. Won't that be wonderful someday?
Someday, I won't have to look for the bulrushes anymore.
I'll just be able to look directly at Him. That's my God. And that's my Savior. You just keep on looking for the bulrushes. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand, while we sing,